chapter 15 and verse 22, we will pick up our study on the life and labors of Paul. As a reminder, we have gone up to the point to where some people had come to the area and they were preaching that salvation is by both faith and circumcision. And of course, we see that that devil still hangs around today. Faith plus works. Faith plus religious ritual. Maybe it's not circumcision. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's not baptism. It's giving gobs of money to the church. Maybe it's not giving gobs of money to the church. Maybe it's burning a candle. Maybe it's being nice. Maybe it's being friends with everybody. Whatever it is, faith plus works is not salvation. Now, you can, as James describes, your faith is going to say a lot about your works, and your works are going to say a lot about your faith, but you cannot mix belief, repentance, and doing something and have it equal salvation. Just does not happen. And what they do is they get together in a lot of false religion. They take this meeting that just took place and they go, see, it was the very first conclave. They decided what the first thing was. It's the very first convention. They got together and they laid out what they believe. And as we studied, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, not even close to what took place. What took place was this. This is what some people are saying. And people who knew better said, that's not what Jesus said at all. It was not them sitting down to decide what salvation is. It was to correct the false religion being taught by people who had no right to teach it. We have to be very careful with conventionism. We have to be very careful with this idea of a hierarchy among. Folks, we do not need a governing body to decide what the book says. The book is clear where we need it to be clear. There are some things, I believe, in Revelation we will not understand until we see it. But my friends, God is not the author of confusion. What he says, he repeats. He clarifies, even down to the parables that he told. He would tell a parable and the crowd would scratch their heads. He took the disciples aside and he said, this is what I mean. And guess who gets to read that part? We do. God does not put things into the word just to confuse us. There is clarity there. I just did a study throughout the New Testament. I'm just about to wrap it up. I wrote down every verse that talks of salvation. And every time, it's believe and repent. That is what takes place. Not a once does it say you must convert to Judaism. Not once does it say this plus that. It is clear. And that's what these men said. This is not what he said. This is not what we believe. So that takes us to verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. So these letters said this. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. The words are, they are not from us. What it is not is, we have decided this is what's right. That's not what they said. We gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were men that came out of us. They were not sent from us. They were not speaking what we taught them. These men, they have our regards. These men have our respect. These men speak the way Jesus taught us to speak. There is a difference. When people talk today about churches, and it may offend some, I don't think of anybody here that would be, but in this world, this phrase will offend some. Not every church belongs to God. The vast majority of them belong to men. Now, why do I say that? Because I'm proud to be a Baptist? Because I'm narrow-minded? Because of whatever? No. There are some that preach and teach the way Jesus taught. And there are some who seek to subvert the souls of others through made-up dogma. And they do so that they can have power, money, and overall control over people they deem lesser than themselves. And you can tell because wolves eat. There are certain pockets of the world you can go to where false religion has taken over, and the people are poor, and they are battered down, and they are taken advantage of, and there's nothing you can say about it because you're not allowed to say anything bad about a priest. There are areas in this country where great sin is accepted because of the religious nature of the people involved. These people who are acting ungodly cannot claim that they came from God. These people who build these monuments and do the nonsense that they do, they cannot claim godly authority. When the message you bring does not represent the one you claim it came from, you've got no right to speak. Well, it's not their fault. They were taught that way. It doesn't change the fact that they have no right to do it. Many of you've had jobs. Some of you still do. You have jobs that require licenses. The people in charge want to know you know what you're supposed to be doing. They check you. They double check you. For what Danielle does, she's supposed to be doing continuing education to keep up her license to do vet tech work. And you know what? Many of you know what that's like. You got to keep your credentials. You got to keep yourself in line. But when it comes down to spiritual things, we think it a cruelty to demand that people know their business. We ought to know the Word of God front, backwards, and upside down. It ought to be the only thing we speak, the only thing we teach. And we ought to be right. And when it comes down to a licensed professional, if they began doing shoddy work, if they began breaking the law, if they couldn't meet code enough, what would we do? As a society, we would take away their right to do that thing. And as God says in the book of Revelation, as Jesus says, I will take your candlestick. He'll take a church's authority. He'll denounce people. Well, God is a God of love. He would never do that. God is a God of righteousness first and foremost. And because He loves, He will do what it takes to keep you on the side of righteous and keep the unrighteous away. It's up to us to decide. I tell my kids every morning, you ever do that with kids? You get up in the morning and they just have a hard time getting started. And I tell them, I say, every morning you have a choice. We could have a good morning. We could have a rough morning. How do we decide what kind of morning we're going to have? And Gideon, we had a little trouble this morning. Gideon goes, obedience. Yeah, oh yeah, he was showing up today. He got up, he fed the animals, he got himself dressed, he even made his own breakfast. By the time some of us were stumbling out of the shower, obedience! And folks, you want to see the loving side of God, you stay obedient. You want to see how hard he can chasten, you get disobedient. But what we cannot do is lay in the world of disobedience and claim, well, I tried. I wasn't taught right. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. If you purport yourself to be a messenger of God, you better know this book. And if you know this book, if you're studying this book, you're going to say what's in it, not what other people have said. I heard a testimony one time, very moving. It was a man caught up in false religion. He said, for years, I said what I was supposed to say. For years, I got up and I gave the messages I was supposed to give. He goes, but I often found that I'd have a lot of free time. And in my free time, I finally just started reading the Bible as it said. He got out of that ministry. Got into a right church. I never heard what the Lord would later go on to do with his life. But I know this, by the time I met him and heard him, he knew he was wrong. He got out of the wrong and got into the right. Why? Because he read the book. So they say they're not from us. We gave no such commandment. These men, they have it. Verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they did. And we've read so far about what Paul and what many of these men went through. The dangers they put themselves into. We think of missionary work now as though it's some sanitized thing. I encourage you, read the reports that missionaries in foreign fields put out. It is dangerous work that they do. They deserve our honor. They deserve our respect. Because it is far too easy to sit in a nice, calm, cool place and bark the word of God. You may find your persecutions, you may find your local problems, but I tell you what, you've not lived until you went to go give the gospel in an area while some Catholic priest in the local language say there are heretics among us, don't give them the time of day, until you have seen people arrested for preaching the word of God, till you go over to China and you hear the testimonies of people who, for the only reason of going to church, meeting together as a church, got 8 years in prison for it. 8 years. If you knew that you could potentially spend 8 years in jail for having showed up this morning, would you still come? And on top of that, there's some wildcats out there who go into those areas to preach the gospel. That's what Paul and Silas, that's who these men were. These were men who cared nothing for their own safety, cared nothing for their retirement, cared nothing for building of their own homes and their own places, but they gave themselves every bit into the work of Christ. Verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Here are some letters, here are some men, they're going to tell you everything we spoke about, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The Holy Spirit compelled us to clear the air. And how did they do it? With thus saith the Lord. I have too many biblical debates, too many squabbles over theology that never involve text. Well, I don't think God would ever do that. Oh yeah, you don't think God would ever do that? What about God doing this? I think God would do this, and I think God would do that. How about you crack the book open and let the Bible say what God would do? He's clear. He's concise. I love good doctrine. I hate bad doctrine. But I can't go to man's opinion for good doctrine. I gotta go straight to the book. Gotta go straight to the book. Verse 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Now again, I want to be clear. This last little admonition isn't, oh yeah, that's wrong on salvation, but this will save you. No. Take a look at that list. What do we know about the things on this list? What has science taught us about the things on this list? These are still very dangerous things to do. Fornication, very dangerous. Fornication can do anything to you from get you sick to break out in high-impact lead poisoning. You know what I'm talking about? Not good. These particular things and how they ate and things like that, is very important that you be careful of it. Now, the other one there, what about meat sacrificed to idols? You got to be careful with what you're taking part in. You got to be careful with what you're supporting. I've so often, and even this last week, so often, hey, would we like to do this? No. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There may not be anything wrong with it, but I don't like what that supports. I don't like what benefits from that. I don't like what I would be feeding in that case. Bless my kids' heart. Dennis gave us a call the other day. Apparently a little baby infant raccoon got abandoned in our backyard. And we didn't know what to do with it, so we've got it in the backyard, and we're trying to take care of it. We got somebody who's going to come by, and they're going to come pick it up, and they're going to take it and take care of it. Because we just, if it's in my house, you know my kids, it ain't leaving. And since they have now seen it and are aware of it, I can't do what I normally do to small pests. Their heart gets wrapped around these things. And I have to feed it. And if I feed it, it gets bigger. And the more it gets bigger, the cuter it is that it breaks out and has a name. It has a name, and then it has a place, and has a place, then it has a becomes a part of our routine. It becomes a part of our routine. And before you know it, it's just one more thing I got to ask Dennis to take care of if ever I step away. Hey, brother, I'm going on a conference. I need you to take care of the chickens, the dogs, the cats, the frog, and the raccoon. And the fish, sorry, the fish. You got to be careful with what you feed. What you feed becomes a part of your family. What you feed becomes a part of your operating. What you feed becomes a part of your mindset. So he warns them, still stay away from sin. But circumcision won't save you. Stay away from sin, but circumcision won't save you. This is not a secondary list of things that could potentially save you if you stayed away from. No. Stay away from this stuff, but circumcision won't save you. Verse 30, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. Where did they go? They went back to their home church. They went back. These were not free agents bouncing around the world doing whatever they pleased. They were under ascending authority. They were sent. And when they were done being sent, what did they do? They went back to their home church. And when they were gathered, when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Just let that sit there for a second. What did they do? The letter was read to the people there at Antioch. And what did they do? They rejoiced. That puts American churches to shame sometimes. Pastor will get up and he'll preach a sermon on sin. I don't know why he's preaching like that. I don't know why he's saying that. A pastor will get up and say, hey, we ought to support this. We ought to do this. Look, according to the word of God, this is what we ought to be doing. This is how we ought to be acting. And people will sit there and say, well, I don't understand why he keeps harping on that. Oh, that we would have the heart that when the word of God is made clear, we would rejoice. That we would be glad. Hey, listen, there was this great debate over salvation. And this is what the Word of God says. And they were glad. Aren't you glad you're clear on what the Word of God says? I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, so glad for it. Walked around the happiest place on earth, they called it. Every now and then you see some people who are not enjoying the happiest part. Grumbling at each other. We walked in. There was a mom and a dad and a baby on the stroller, and mom and dad were already at it. Weren't even arguing anything. They're just having the typical, we're getting kids together argument. And there I am with my four. My niece was there. And I be honest with you, sometimes your parents, and you get through and they're trying to put sunblock on the baby, put sunblock on themselves, and I go, oh, it is 9 o'clock in the morning, bud. It's going to be a long day for you. You sit there and you do things. You're waiting in line, getting your license done, getting your tabs renewed. And what do you mean? I am a saved child of God. I am happy in line at Secretary of State. I am happy as I'm cashing out, buying my groceries, no matter what the cost is. And trust me, that's a temptation, isn't it? That is a temptation. Oh man, you worry, you fuss. All right, do I need to start putting some of them back? Can I trade one of the kids for? What do I do? It is easy. It is remarkably easy to have a fit everywhere you go. But if you are a child of God, the idea that no matter what happens here on this miserable blue ball, in the end, you are before the throne of God for all eternity, it causes you to rejoice. We come into the house of God to hear the word preached and we rejoice. Sometimes we're right about what it says. Sometimes we're wrong for what it says. But in the end, aren't you glad you know what it says? I'm embarrassed when I'm wrong just as much as anybody else. Sometimes it's humiliating. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes a bit of anger between two people is involved over what the Bible says. But when two people can lay their silly aside, when a congregation can lay their silly aside, their sinful reactions to each other aside, and get down to what God has to say, we'll rejoice. There's a few things that I love to say. One of my favorites was, I'm sorry I was wrong, but I'm glad we checked. I'm sorry I was wrong. I'm glad we checked. Well, if you tell people you're sorry, if you find out that you're wrong, what will people think of you? I don't care. God gave me a mode of operation. If number one, I need to read and study the Bible. Number two, I need to apply the Bible. So whether I'm right or wrong, it does not matter. I have to read and study. I have to apply. And if people find out that I am I'm a sinner, if people have to find out that I wasn't born with all knowledge, if people find out that I've made mistakes or I was ignorant on something, that's outside of my control. The only thing I can control is getting right and staying right. And God's people who are on that same mission, they'll understand. I would much rather get right and look a little silly than stay wrong and have God's anger. You understand? I will not continue to tempt God in my sin or my inaccuracy because I don't want people to whisper about me. One of the things that we'll see, and we'll end with this sometimes, is people who believe that they are saved and the Lord actually saves them later on. And they sit on that business because they don't want to embarrass themselves. I've never once seen a congregation go, no. No, if you didn't know you were saved then, we don't think you know you're saved now, so just forget about it. Get out of here. I've never seen that. And if I saw it, that's probably good that that person doesn't join that church. You know what I've seen every time somebody's come forward and said, hey, I was wrong, but God has made me right now? I've seen rejoicing. And that's what we should do. Whether we are right, whether we are wrong, we should rejoice when we have been made clear on what God says. Be glad that God took the opportunity to clear it up for you. Because in the grand scheme of things, He's going to get done what He wants done. I am a blip. I'm barely visible in the plan of God. And the fact that He would take time to explain to me His word, that is a gift. It's a gift. So that's what we must do. We must do what they do. Not debate, not argue over what we think or what we feel, but clarify the word of God, hold it up to all those. If there are people who misunderstand, let us correct the misunderstanding. But let us be right in what God has to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank You so much for preserving Your word. Lord, that we may have it. And Father, not that we would have it, but Father, You send the Holy Spirit, that You send teachers and preachers and pastors to help us to understand it. And that, Lord, if we missed it, Lord, there's always the second read. Lord, it seems like every time I go through this book, you reveal more, You show more, I catch more. Lord, You are a patient teacher, and we're thankful. But Lord, I pray this, that in our accuracy, You help us to share Your word. Help us to stand for it. Lord, not to be passive in this world of false religion, but to speak Your words loud and clear. And Lord, be insistent upon them. Lord, not because it's what we believe, but it's because it's what You said. Help us, Lord, to be accurate. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.